is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week for Wheel Talk Monday. You all, ladies and gentlemen, I got my sister up in the building with me, Miss Daisy. How you doing, sis?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Y'all, I'm relaxed. I'm rejuvenated. I'm just coming back off of a vacation. Today, I just got back, so... Look, we ready for y'all tonight. So y'all know how we start off Wheel Talk Monday. We always start Wheel Talk Monday off with a little bit of the theme song. So ladies and gentlemen, as this theme song is playing, like, share, tag, tell somebody, tell everybody that Wheel Talk Monday is on. Let's go. What is up? What is up? What is up? Everyone, everyone, everyone. It is another day, another time, and another week. We'll talk Monday. All right. Y'all, we're going to let our sister, Miss Daisy, start us off in prayer tonight.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come together and we join on this Monday amongst our amazing audience and family. Lord, we just want to thank you for another day, another Monday, to be in the presence of what we love to do, but ultimately to edify the body of Christ and what you've called James and I to do in this hour. We pray that the foundation is laid with nothing but your word. We pray that it is settled and saturated with nothing but your word, oh God. We pray that every heart, every ear that is listening, that we shed light on it, that it ultimately edifies you, God. So we pray that you bring forth the word and that you do what it is that you've called us to do in this time, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. First thing first, hey to our sister Tevis. How you doing, sis?
Hi, Tevis.
Yeah. Y'all, we are here. We are ready. And tonight, we got a fire topic for y'all tonight, talking about. We got a fire one for y'all tonight. Sis, tell them what we're talking about tonight.
You tell them, Jay.
Look, I try to play it off. I try to play it off because I forgot the name of it tonight. So the topic on tonight is something. Some things I can't get past. Y'all, look, I try to play it off so smoothly and throw it to my sister. And she threw that right back to me. Dang.
Listen, don't be doing that to me either. Okay. Didn't you have a video that connects with that topic?
I think I did. It was a video of a guy. I think the guy was talking to his ex. Or we talking about tonight about can you... Let's just jump into the questions tonight. Does friends with benefits actually work? That's the first question that we're going to ask tonight. Y'all getting pure unadulterated realness tonight. The wallness. This is not rehearsed. Ain't none of that done. Look, I'm coming straight off vacation. So look, ain't none of this professionally done tonight. Does friends with benefits actually work? What do you think?
I've been on mental vacation too, y'all. Even though I didn't go away on vacation like James, I've just been really, really chillaxing and dwelling in the Lord. If you don't believe me, ask James. I just been out of it, okay?
Yeah, she ain't lying. we'll talk about that later.
All right, so what you said, our first question was, does friends with benefits actually work? You want me to answer first?
Yeah, go on ahead.
Absolutely not. But let me just start off by saying a disclaimer. Because I'm a good daughter of the Lord, I ultimately, now where my relationship is with God, we shouldn't be having sex anyway before.
Sex.
We should not be soul tying with nobody before marriage, once we are fully aligned with God. So I don't think that sex, friends with benefits, work, because someone's feelings gonna get involved, if not both. And from past experience, from people I know that's tried the whole sex with friends with benefits, a woman always tends to get her feelings hurt, from the experience that I know from people I know in the past. So I don't ultimately think that it works, because someone is going to end up getting caught up, attaching. And then we have to also keep in mind that there's just too many things going on in this world to just have friends with benefits. Because, you know, if you're not in a relationship, then you he or she may want to go out there and indulge some more into another partner, because there's no ties with the friends with benefits thing. It never turns out good. And then you want to also think about your friendship, ultimately, what's going to happen with that. So that's my answer on that one. What about you, James?
Do friends with benefits actually work? No. Because not only does the females get their feelings involved, but a lot of times men get their feelings involved too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can only speak for myself. As we already said, as children of God, we shouldn't be having sex before we're married anyway. Let's just keep that all the way real. That shouldn't be happening anyway. So we got that disclaimer out there. But my thing is also, you shouldn't be just out here doing it with anybody and everybody. Like, because then you're getting into that situation of soul ties too. You're getting into that situation of you are sleeping with everybody that your partner has slept with. So you start getting your feelings involved, emotions start getting involved, and it don't work out good for nobody at that point. And like Tevin said, I've always been scared to find out. And especially because how many other folks get these benefits? Exactly.
That's what I was saying. You know, they start indulging into other people.
Exactly. Yeah. And, this is a good question. Do you believe that men and women can just be friends?
Yeah. Growing up, it's funny because growing up, though I had a lot of female friends growing up, I also had a lot more homeboys, just guy friends.
Mm-hmm.
Happen beyond just us being cool. So for me, I can do that. For me, can we really while you answer it, I'm gonna look at what Google says.
For me, I always tell people, look at what I have with the girls that are on my show. It is strictly platonic and strictly friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I believe it can be friends if boundaries have already been set. Mm-hmm. You cannot, in my honest opinion. Now, if you ask, can you just be friends with an ex? No, you can't do that. Because sooner or later, somebody's going to catch feelings all over again.
Right.
So, in my opinion on that, no, you can't just be friends with the ex. Because somebody's going to catch those feelings.
All right. So based on Google, their poll that they did, it says men, 36% of the men says that they more likely can't just be friends with a woman. 27% of the women says that they can just be friends with a man. That's the first poll that popped up that I just read from.
So yeah, I believe at camp, in all honesty, it really goes down to what can you handle mentally. It goes back to your mental standpoint. Are you mentally mature enough and emotionally mature enough to just be friends with somebody of the opposite sex? Case in point, me and Daisy. Me and her have been cool for what? Going on 3 years now?
No, it's been longer than that.
Three or four. It's been about four or five, maybe.
It's been a while.
And not one time have we crossed that line. Not one time have we thought about crossing that line. It was strictly friendship from the jump. To be honest, Daisy was trying to hook me up with somebody else.
Well, that's because we were in a Facebook group and I was the admin and we were doing dating months. That's one of the events we had going on in the group virtually. And I was doing the matching and stuff like that, and that's how we met.
To clear up the rumors, I wasn't who she got matched with at all.
No, I matched him up with someone. I was the matcher. Like, I'm the one that matches up everybody in the group.
And that's a different episode. We'll talk about that
Always bring that
on another
up,
episode.
Chase. You always
But
bring that up.
what I will say is, in all honesty, in that situation that happened, something beautiful came from it. Because if it wouldn't have been for that, I wouldn't have met my wonderful, awesome, amazing older sister named Daisy. So you gotta take the good with the bad. All right, so let's go to these next questions. At any point, if y'all got any questions, leave them in the comments. I'll just read the next one.
All right, so what are we, number two? Why do we always set ourselves up? Why do we always set ourselves up for failure? Why do we always set ourselves up for failure, James?
Because we didn't learn our lesson the first time, and because we didn't spend time getting connected to the source and making sure that the decisions we are making are godly decisions instead of making decisions out of our flesh. When we make decisions out of our flesh desires are very weak and carnal minded. But when we make decisions based on God's perspective of things, we can't help but be successful.
Now, are we talking about the topic at hand or just overall life?
The topic at hand and overall in life. Now, with the topic at hand, why do we set ourselves up for failure with that? It's because we become comfortable in discomfort. We have become comfortable with that situation. Even though we know this situation ain't what we need to be dealing with, even though we know this person ain't even the person that God has for us, we have become so comfortable dealing with them that we'll still deal with it, regardless.
My thing is, so for my answer is, I know you said we have allowed ourselves to become comfortable, but what about taking the initiative before allowing yourself to make pass that line the very first time? I think that's more so setting ourselves up for failure when you know what's right, when you know what's wrong, but you still go ahead and push behind the red flags, behind what you know is rightfully wrong, and still act on your hormones, if we must be honest. Because I honestly think that if you are sitting and you're talking to your best friend and y'all start talking about sexual encounter and then things happen to lead to that, I think there is a level where both of y'all had the opportunity to say, no, we're not going to do that because it may one ruin our friendship. Two, who knows if that person is with someone, because I've known of situation where a man was in a relationship and the girl, him and the girl was best friends and they they had sex, you know? So it's just like, I feel like with that question, why do we set ourselves up for failure? I think we act on our emotions and our hormones versus our what we know is right. Like in biblical stance, that would be we act on our flesh, because mm-hmm. the flesh is forever present. The flesh, that's why the scripture says you got to die to your flesh every day. You got to go before yourself and die to this flesh, because the flesh wants what it wants, you know, and it takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of restraint to say, no, that's wrong and we shouldn't do it. And in that moment, who really wants to? Well, I know I can, and it won't even get that far. But a lot of times I think, too, once you really notice that, wow, are we kissing right now? Are we about to have sex right now? You don't want to be.
You don't want to stop it.
You don't want to stop it because you don't want to be the awkward person in the room, you know. And then you don't want you're thinking maybe if you stop, then that's going to be awkward later on down the line or so forth. So you just go all the way through. So I think that's why a lot of times people set themselves up in that moment, because it goes a little bit too far before they can even stop it. And when they think to stop it, they're afraid to stop it.
I agree.
So the next question is, can you go back to being friends with someone after being intimate with them? Can you go back to being friends with someone after being intimate with them?
Can you go back to being friends with someone after being intimate? No.
Why?
Because of the simple fact of that line's already been crossed. Boundaries been crossed. So needless to say, somebody's going to want to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
So, no.
Yeah, kind of like what I said earlier in the last... I don't think that you can go back to being respectfully friends. You may can be friends, but there will be attitudes left and right. If one person gets into a relationship after that,
exactly,
it will cause major problems. We know people can be messy. When people want what they want, regardless if you're just friends. And this is another thing with friends with benefits. When it does stop, if they do continue to try to be friends, when that person gets in a relationship, they will do anything in their willpower, because they may not want that person, but once they get into a relationship, then they want to see if they still got it, that they can make that person slip up. So it really just messes up the whole grounds of what that friendship stood for before. Because at that point, after sex then becomes a thing that we do as friends, after that, what are we now titled? We're not friends anymore.
We friends with benefits.
Or you're someone that I had a few stands with. Maybe not one night stand, but you're someone that...
three or four night stands.
Right.
But we done something.
Right. And listen, we got to know that soul ties is a real legit thing. Okay. Regardless if you want to acknowledge it or not, it's real. It's definitely a real thing. And so when you entwined in sexual encounter, especially if you're not using protection, listen, them spirits don't care what's on that person. If you are saying we're just friends and we're going to pull apart after that, whatever is on them is now tied to you. And that's why a lot of times people's feelings get hurt, because they get so pulled in and attached to that spirit that person carry. And that's what soul ties is. You know, when you see them weeks after, you're still, your emotions is running high. You can't move on. Even when you move on, you're still thinking about that sexual encounter that you guys had. That's a soul tie. And if you're going to have experience soul tie, I think you should really experience that with your spouse. If to be honest. So yes, I think that's it. You can't go back to being friends with someone in a respectful boundary setting, having an intimate encounter with them. No.
Sooner or later, somebody's going to catch feelings. Somebody's going to want it again. And like we already said, once that other person gets in a relationship, it's going to be 10 times worse.
Yeah. You want to go in the next? You want to do the next?
Let's look at some of these comments.
Oh.
I like this one. Friendships shouldn't include sex.
Absolutely not.
So I definitely agree with that. It shouldn't.
You want to do the next question?
Yeah. Next one. Men and women sometimes expect too much out of the opposite sex?
Say that again.
Do men and women sometimes expect too much from the opposite sex?
Okay, so I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that it depends on what is too much as far as use me for example. I don't think you can ever ask for too much as long as you can upstand what those things that you're asking for.
Right.
And so if you got someone, a woman or for example, that wants this man to make all this money, to open the door, to be respectful, to treat her like a queen, but you're rude and disrespectful to him, that's a problem. Then you're really asking for too much because you can't match you can't match of what you're asking for. So I don't think it's ever asking for too much if you can present that same thing. What about you?
I don't believe it's asking for too much because if you're doing that, then what you got to do is you got to check yourself. It may be, it's not that you're asking for too much, but you're asking for too much from the wrong person.
Mm-hmm.
Because right. The man or the woman that God has for you, it's not going to be too much for them. They're going to be able to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the woman that God's given me,
right.
I know that she can handle what I'm asking of her.
Right.
She is made for this. She has been pruned. She has been shaped. She has been molded. She has been made especially for me. God knew what I needed before he formed me in my mother's womb. Before he formed me in my mother's womb, he already had her prepared for me. So with that being said, it's not asking too much of her. However, if I was to ask this other woman for the same thing I asked her for, it would be too much for this other woman because of the simple fact of she can't handle the weight that of the calling which God has on my life.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's not that you're asking for too much. It's just the simple fact that you're asking for too much from the wrong person.
I agree 100%. And I want to also add in while you were talking, I thought about, when you're connected to the right person, you normally don't have to ask. Like the things comes naturally, it flows. Like you said, if she's equipped for you, then that should flow. And you would want to go above and beyond to where it leaves no room to her asking you or you asking her, to do certain things. So that with you on that.
Definitely agree with that. Look at some of these comments. But it's, sometimes I know I've asked more of a person than can't give me everything.
Mm-hmm. If you are dating and courting, there will be expectations, right? That comes with any ship, correct? Yes, to unrealistic expectations, especially if they have no clue you have these expectations. Right.
That's very true.
In friendships, it can also be that a boundary needs to be established, correct? So I think when you go and have sex, that's crossing those boundaries.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's not, we don't go around having sex with our friends.
Mm-mm.
You are setting yourself up for a disappointment, a big disappointment.
Good time.
Yeah. I agree. It absolutely needs to be boundaries and friendship and a relationship and a partnership in your business, whether you have a partner in your business, at your workspace, in life, you've got to set boundaries because people will.
Right here, this comment right here, a little bit.
Before sex, boundaries, standards should be set. Wait, I'm trying to.
It says before sex, boundaries and standards.
If she's on, she can elaborate that first part for me. What's your definition of boundaries and standards? If you're still on, to many people. Too many people are skipping placing boundaries and then wonder why there's never 100% respect or loyalty because they jump into flesh and sex. That's correct.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why I feel like a lot of times that things gets disrespected in a friendship. Or even in a relationship, because people never want to sit down and have the uncomfortable conversations in the beginning. People never want to sit down and really talk anymore. It's just a rush process. And then all boundaries are crossed that were never set, right? So, yeah, I agree with that.
1,000% on that one. Yeah, it's conversations that's got to be had
Yeah.
before you jump into any kind of relationship, friendship, or anything. Boundaries, expectations, they need to be set beforehand. Because when you start a job, before you start your job, they give you what they expect of you. So when you are going into a relationship, or when you're starting a new friendship, you ought to let them know what you expect of them. That way, if they can't meet those expectations, they can know if this is something they want to deal with or if it's something that they don't.
So let me ask you the question that that I asked the young lady that commented.
Hold on.
Give
She
me.
just elaborated. Hold on. She
Okay.
elaborated on it.
To elaborate, you set the bar. You tell people what line not to cross, okay? Let people be themselves and show you who they are. And when they do, you have the choice to remove yourself. Is that for boundaries or standards? Because that can be boundaries, right?
Yeah, I think it could go with both.
It can go. That's why I was asking that question, because I think they both really fall under each other. And even though the thing is, though, when it comes to friends with benefits and any type of relationship, I agree. You got to set boundaries. That's what boundaries are. You set them and you stand your grounds on your boundaries, right? Thank you for clearing that up, honey. And you set your grounds on your boundaries. And I think why a lot of people test the waters with a friend, why a guy or a girl may get into a friendship with the opposite sex and test the waters, because maybe boundaries were set in their past friendship, and people don't stick to a lot of their boundaries. And I've come to realize that. We say we want these relationships with boundaries, and we preach and we speak so much about boundaries, but we don't honor those things for ourselves. And I'm not saying everyone, but I've realized that. And so when you give people an inch, they take a mile, and then they go try it with someone else, and they will try to do what they continue. They will do what they can continue to get away with, if I must say. I think, like she said, you just gotta stand your grounds on your standards and your boundary, and that you're not going to be sticking your stuff entwining with your friends and, in any relationship for that matter.
Facts. I agree 1,000% with both of you all on that. All right, so what was the question you was gonna ask me before we elaborated on that question?
But we just talked on it, so it's okay. I didn't know she responded, so I was gonna ask that question.
Okay, I got you. All right. Do men and women sometimes... Okay, here it is. Number five.
Huh?
Number five. When you hear the phrase, what do you bring to the table? What goes to your mind?
Say that again?
So nowadays, especially for the men, we ask that question. Oh, I've heard a lot of guys saying, oh, I got to see what C is bringing to the table. What is C going to bring to the table before I think about making her my wife? What is C bringing to the table? When you hear that phrase, what goes through your mind?
My first question, honestly, would be, what do you mean by that? Like, I like for people to break stuff down for me because I'm not going to assume. That's why I also asked you to repeat it. Because what is your definition? I would say to that individual, what is your definition of what do you bring to the table? What does that look like to you?
Are you asking me that question?
No. That's what I would think of first. Right. But to really answer your question without being sarcastic to the person, not you, but if someone, you know, says that or asks me that, was your question, or say the phrase, what do they bring to the table? My first thing would be, are we talking about financially, or are we talking about the whole deal? You know what I'm saying? Because I think everyone think of what do you bring to the table categorized as different things.
Right.
Because what I may have as a package of what I would like, you know, someone else's like may be different of what their thing is as what do they bring to the table. They may not be looking for some of the things the next woman is looking for, or I'm looking for. Right. So I would definitely have to get a breakdown of what that means. But that saying, I know that saying of what you're talking about. And that saying is basically how people be like, I am the table. Mm-hmm. Like myself. I know what you're saying. I'm just giving you a hard time.
It wouldn't be you if you didn't. It wouldn't be you if you didn't. And it wouldn't be a Monday night with you if you didn't.
Listen, because I be so over these saying, okay.
It is. Like, some of these sayings have become so overdone and overdrawn out. Now, let me be honest, and let me be all the way up front. Mm-hmm. When I say, what do you bring to the table? Mm-hmm. When I ask that question, I'm not looking at financial. I'm not looking at your beauty and all of that, because finances, they can go, they can be here 1 minute and they can be gone the next. Your beauty, you can be beautiful one day, but once you take that makeup off and that weave out of your head, what you looking like? But for me, when I say, what are you bringing to the table? I'm going deeper than your finances. I'm going deeper than your beauty that you have on your face.
Right.
I'm looking at, what is your prayer life like?
Right.
What is your walk with God like? How do you treat the common person on the street?
Yeah.
Are you one that wants everything handed to you? Are you willing to work to get what you need?
Mm-hmm. So here's how, outside of the worldly things of how they word stuff, here's how I would word that if I was on a date with someone I'm interested. What are your qualities that you would bring to the relationship?
Facts.
So yeah, but I that part. But see, and your reasonings, your things that you're looking for is so different. What did I messed it. Isn't that something you learn as you're dating prior to courting? Yeah.
It definitely is.
Yeah. And a lot of things also that you can find out just by talking to the person. Mm-hmm. by dating, if you're really interested in getting to know someone, a lot of the information you can find out just in conversation. You don't have to go straight out and say, what do you bring to the table? You know, you can find all that out through conversation, as you should. It should just flow. It shouldn't be, I'm on court, on trial, investigation, like what you bring to the table. But your things are so different from some of the like podcasts I've seen with men podcasts or women podcasts, like a lot of the woman podcasts. Like when they say that, their definition is, do he have all these coins and these property? You know what I'm saying? So that's why with that whole saying to me, it's just, I don't want to use it no more, but I get what you're saying, and I can respect and honor all those things. Cause I want to know what your prayer life looked like too. You know, Can you cover when I don't know what to say? Can you
facts?
Right. What we do,
it gets hard out here.
Listen, if you can't pray for me or pray over me, your money means nothing.
Because prayer is going to get me somewhere that your money can't take me.
Seriously. Okay.
So. Right. And this right here, let me answer this. Is that something that you, wait. This question right here. So do you really ask that question? To answer that question, no, I do not ask that question. As my sister said, what I do is I wait, because what I have learned is, in time, if I'm just patient enough and I have enough conversation with you, sooner or later, your true character is going to come out. Who you truly are is going to show. You can't fake it for long. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It should just flow. You shouldn't have to investigate on someone. A lot of times people will really know who they are in conversation. If you're one to, you know, have discernment and be observant of the conversations that you're having, and that's really how you, if you're not sensitive in your discernment where you can pick up on what's faulty or not, it is very important that you pay attention in just regular, normal conversation with someone you're dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Let's go into this last question, y'all.
Okay.
Is the dating world toxic now? Because I have heard on different podcasts, there is pee in a dating pool. And let me come out here and say out front, there ain't pee in it. You're just looking in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. I must say, to answer the question, a few years back when I was out in the world, I'm one of the people that said that. I think I probably made a post and repost something saying that. Or God dropped more men down, you know, and so on and so forth. But what God has been really, what he's really been doing in me is that I got to first love him and love myself. Mm-hmm. Once you do a whole transformation with him, then you really wouldn't look at anyone, man, woman, whatever, as it being trash or toxic. Though there is toxic, very toxic people, very evil, wicked people, and so on and so forth. But you are what you attract, right?
Facts.
And where you, what you want to attract, then you will align yourself with what you want to attract. So if you're if you are surrounded by toxic, intoxicated water, because it has pee in it, right? Then
you got pee on you somewhere.
You're in the wrong area of the water where the pee is flowing. You at the very end to where the pee goes and dumps out from the toilet. So you got to realign and reposition yourself so that you can get of what you would desire, I would say. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's my answer to that. You want to add to that, Jamie?
to give it from a biblical standpoint, when Peter and John was out fishing as fishermen. When Jesus came to them, he told them to go on to the other side, go deeper, go deeper, cast their nets deeper. A lot of times, the reason why we are dealing with pee in the dating pool, are we dealing with toxic in the dating pool? God is telling us to go deeper in him. He's saying, I'm wanting you to be deeper in me. You're looking at the shallow part of things. You're looking at how fine this person is. You're looking at how much money this person makes. You're looking about how many likes y'all going to get on Instagram if y'all go out together. You're looking at how many heads y'all going to turn the minute y'all walk into the building. But what I'm looking at is how many demons are going to swivel the minute y'all wake up and y'all hit y'all's feet on the ground and y'all start praying. I'm looking at is how this person is going to challenge you and make you better into the person that I'm calling you to be, the man or the woman that I'm calling you to be. So what I would say is that pee in the dating pool, is the dating pool toxic? As our sister, Pastor Danita said, in the world, yeah, it's very toxic in the world. But as believers, we cannot go into this dating situations the same way that the world goes into it. We cannot.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we have a higher calling than the world does.
Right. Yeah, to add to that, and what I said previously was once you align yourself with God, he transformed your mind totally to where you have a different perspective. What people of the world look at will be toxic once he transformed you and your mind. In a transparent moment right now, when I fully went to God with the whole kingdom, with the whole marriage, I didn't even, back then I wasn't even saying kingdom marriage. I was just saying, where my husband, God, and all ends and all this stuff and so forth. Being transparent, God told me, surrender it to me. Meaning that I'm viewing them as toxic because I don't have the mind of what are the spirit of God, what he and his sons or his dating pool. So I had to fully surrender that to him so he can wash my vision. He can wash my soul. He can wash my heart and how I'm viewing casting my eyes on, if I should say, because let's be real. A lot of times we pick what's not good for us.
Guilty.
I mean, a lot of times. And so that's what God was saying. Surrender it to me, because you keep doing it your way. You're going to keep viewing them as toxic. Mm-hmm. So I have to fully surrender. God's my Cupid. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't need nobody else hooking me up. God is going to do it.
Yeah. So I had to surrender to him, and now I can't even fix my mouth to say, because let's be real, God, we are all God's sons and daughter. Mm-hmm. Okay? So who am I to sit up there and say that God's sons are toxic?
We're not.
So why do we keep putting each other down in that way? And your words hold weight. You keep calling the dating pool around you toxic. That's all you're going to come up and see when you go down into the water and come back up. Mm-hmm. That's all you're going to see. So you got to have a different perspective on it. And if you can't find a different perspective on it, you got to go before God and surrender that whole thing to him so he can take you to another ocean where it's not smelling like pee. Because your choices are going to continue to look like toxic if you think it and if you speak it.
Facts. We have to ask God to transform our minds, our thoughts, our hearts, and our souls. We cannot keep dealing with the same toxic situations and continue to expect better. Mm-hmm. Case in point, I was on vacation this week, and as I was having some alone time and spending some time with family. During this time, one of my cousins, as he came back to the resort that we were staying in, once he got into the room, she said when she was downstairs, her cell phone really didn't have any service. But as she went higher, her cell phone got more service. A lot of us, the reason why we are dealing with the toxic situations that we are dealing with in the world is because we are still downstairs and God is calling us to go up higher.
Focus on him. What does scripture says? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his
all these things.
And all the things that includes the husband and the wife. All these things shall be added. You're going to keep running into dead end if you keep focusing on what your flesh want, on what you want for yourself. You got to surrender it all.
Facts.
I promise you, once you surrender that thing, you won't have that disgusting feeling that the dating pool is toxic, because that won't even matter to you no more.
Mm-mm. It won't matter to you at all.
I promise you, it don't like that. I don't, that don't mean nothing to me.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
I see. Because God didn't listen this on the spiritual realm where I'm looking with the vision that he gave me. I see respectful, mighty of man of God, because I don't know what y'all talking about.
Exactly. I don't know what y'all talking about toxic, but God has shown me powerful women of God, powerful women that are going to move mountains, that are going to do great things in God's kingdom. So I don't know what y'all calling toxic. Y'all better leave my sisters alone and let them do what they do.
On period.
So... in closing tonight, we'd invite you to stay tuned, tune into the podcast on the mall as it drops at midnight. Woo-hoo. Stay tuned for that. And also, if you're watching by WePlay on Facebook or YouTube, put hashtag Real Talk WePlay in the comments so that we know that you're watching with us. Our podcast is on every major podcast site. Also, if you do not have your official Real Talk Monday merch, we are working on some more. More is coming. Some of our brand ambassadors already have some of the new stuff that we're working on. Some Real Talk Monday fam already have some of the merchandise that we're working on. So that will be released here very, very shortly. Y'all just give me a little bit of time. Probably... just give me a couple of weeks. I'm waiting on God to give me the clearance to release it. And the new Real Talk Monday merch will be released and information on how you can order it. But right now, you can order these right now. You can message me in my messenger, or you can email us at realtalkmonday1@gmail.com. Message us what size of a shirt that you want, what size polo that you want, and message us the color that you want in it, and we will definitely make sure that you get that and give you the information on how you can send payments and all of that great information. Also, next Monday, stay tuned, tune in on next Monday. Real Talk Monday will be taken over by the single mothers of teenage daughters. They had a part one discussion already. But next Monday, I am in Revival, so they're doing a part two discussion. So y'all tune in for that discussion. Same time, same place. Even though I'm out of rotation, they still going to be here and they're going to be rocking it out. And I'm proud of them for going on and having part two of that discussion. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And stay tuned. Real Talk Monday has a lot of great things that we're working on. We have some more powerful topics that we're going to be coming to y'all with very soon. Daisy and I was just talking yesterday, and we have some great topic ideas that we're going to be coming to y'all with very soon. Tevis and I have been talking. We're coming with y'all with some more fire. So y'all definitely stay tuned for that. Y'all don't want to miss it. So as I always say, before I turn it over to my beautiful co-host, my beautiful sister, Miss Daisy, sometimes our disappointments are nothing more than God's appointments. Meaning, sometimes if we look at it as bad, God is only turning it around for our good. Stay blessed, be blessed, and be a blessing to someone else. And then we will see y'all next week. Sissy, it's on you.
So I just want to close out with, like I said earlier, based on a topic that we were talking about, and a lot of people said it in the comments, set your boundaries, stand on your boundaries. If it's something you're uncomfortable with, it's better that you stop it before it goes too far. And most importantly, have respect for yourself. I believe if we have a lot of, if we have respect for ourselves, we wouldn't allow a lot of things to happen to set ourselves up for failure or set us ourselves up for a heartbreak. Put God first, serve him. And guess what? All that, all the extra stuff, friends with benefits and all this things that really doesn't matter will just come at the right time if you put God first, I promise you. All right, I love you.
All right, y'all. We love y'all. We'll see y'all very soon. Peace.